Welcome to our fostering podcast. I'm Angela Hunt, one of the founders of To the Moon and Back Foster Care. There are around 44,000 foster families in England, and it's estimated that 9,500 families will be needed over the next 12 months in the UK. The number is not reducing. It wasn't that long ago that it was 8,500. And we think, given the situation currently economically and the challenges facing a lot of families, the likelihood is that more children will be needing our services in the future. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Juliet, a foster carer from Cambridgeshire who first contacted us a year ago. That's flown, Juliet.
It really has, Angela.
It's quite scary. Of course, I know you've been a fostering person for quite a while now and transferred over to the Moon and Back. How long have you actually been fostering?
So we have been fostering as a family for 6 years, since 2017. Although, like we've just said, it has absolutely flown by.
Goodness. What do you think have been the highlights for you as a foster caring family?
I was just having a quick think about this, and it's quite hard to pinpoint. We've fostered several children of different genders and different ages. But I just think it's ultimately making a difference to that child's life. And it doesn't have to be a big difference. It can be the tiniest little differences that you can see a child develop, or a skill that they can learn, even something tiny weeny like brushing their teeth or tying their shoelaces, riding a bike, attending school, just something. I think personally it's about also what we can offer as a family, with the safe and loving environment, giving them opportunities that they may not have had previously, and ensuring that their needs are met in a way that they should have been met. And, you know, as we all know, unfortunately, a lot of the children in care have not had these opportunities or their needs met. So it's quite nice to be a part of that.
Fantastic. Just thinking about, I mean, we talk a lot about children who, for whatever reason, can't live with their families. And we know a lot of the reasons why children come into the care system is because they've suffered neglect or abuse within their family. We talk about that in the terms of the traumatic effect that that might have on children. I think one of the things that we work on with To the Moon and Back is ensuring that there's a trauma-informed approach. And I was going to ask you what you thought the benefits were of working with an understanding of trauma, and how having that understanding helps you as a foster carer.
Yeah, definitely. I think some people's understanding of trauma is sometimes something really, really horrific and horrendous. But actually, to a child, the trauma of just being away from their parents has such a massive impact. Yeah, so it's about a foster carer or the foster family having a great awareness of what trauma relates to and how this can impact obviously on this child or children, and in various ways. Trauma itself can lead to cognitive, physical and social and emotional difficulties. Certainly in their development, it can impact how they grow, they learn, and how they can interact with others. So those social skills that maybe they have not had kind of an openness to. It also affects how their brain can develop. And obviously this is the main mechanism. So everything that we take for granted has an impact upon these children in one way, form or another. And I think it's about us ensuring that we can understand the training of trauma, either through ACEs or through the PACE model, mm-hmm. And kind of being able to, as caregivers, understand the trauma initially and how this would impact a vulnerable child, and how this affects them, like I said, cognitively, physically, or within the brain development, and how we can use this compassionately and responsibly to ensure that they can heal and develop and grow to the best of their abilities.
How did you, I mean, from your experience, and I know you've done an awful lot of work around working in a trauma-informed way, sometimes known as therapeutic way. And how do you think having that knowledge, I mean, for example, looking after a child, how does that present in the child? And how do you therefore prepare yourself and your own family to deal with what might arise as a result of the trauma that's affected the young people during their time?
I think, again, each child is different. Each child's background or story is different. And although we have a great toolbox from our training and from our life experiences, and certainly what we've picked up as a fostering family or a fostering carer over the years we've been doing this, I think you have to take each child as they present. And sometimes that's difficult with giving that information to your family. This might be a bit of a problem, or this might be a trigger, but also on the fact of what a child displayed for one situation may not present for the same situation whilst they're with you. And I think it's just about having that flexibility and that responsive attitude to that child when they present with something. And it's about realizing that not each situation or not each piece of training or parenting style fits that one child. So I can say currently we have one that is very playful, one very jokey, loves banter, whereas another just doesn't understand it, doesn't understand a joke. And therefore, you know, we have to parent the two in very different styles to get the most out of them.
Yeah. I know we talk a lot about having, I mean, you mentioned PACE just now, and I mean, for listeners perhaps who aren't familiar with PACE, I know a lot of it is around keeping a very playful attitude where you can, so that children are in a non-threatening situation, and also maintaining your curiosity. I think one of the things that we often talk about is behavior is something that children will present with potentially because of what's happened to them. So we look at behavior as a communication, don't we? And think, well, where is that coming from? And trying to understand that brings that level of curiosity that we talk about with PACE. And the kind of working with PACE is definitely about, I think, in everything, about maintaining curiosity. And I suppose as a trauma-informed organization, we're curious about everybody, not just the children, but our team who work with you and other members from an external team point of view. We're always looking at how we're impacted, and by constantly saying, oh, you know, what's going on for you today? Tell me about it. And being relational and working closely with people, you feel safe in probably working in that way. Don't feel as though you're being challenged constantly. But I think the curiosity about it's groundbreaking in a way when we look at how children, but how we all present, that can give us cues, can't it, about how we're feeling. And what we always say to new foster carers is, you know, being curious is really important. How do we do that? And I suppose for you, with the experience you've had over 6 years, how do you feel that you've done that? What's worked well for you when you know that you've been presented perhaps with some challenging situations? How have you dealt with it?
We are a quite laid back family. We are quite resilient as a whole, you know, as a unit and as a whole, you know, the family. And I just find, going back to the PACE training, we are an energetic family. We are a playful family. We like to have a joke. You know, we can't wait for April Fool's Day. And that kind of comes through, I guess, in our personalities, which is kind of, it kind of settles the children that actually not everything is really serious. And you know, we are very honest. We're an honest family. And we are curious. You know, I'm intrigued. Why do you behave in this manner if this happens? Or why do you say the things that you say? And even the tone of their voice. And, you know, we call it curiosity because we're professionals. On a personal note, some people call it nosy. take the two in hand, but I think certainly within the fostering, you need that curiosity, and it's across the board. You need to be curious with the professionals involved. You know, why do you think that? What have you seen or read to lead you to that assumption or to that advice? And I do think you have to have that questioning mind, and don't be scared. Don't be scared to say, why do you think that? Or why have you done this? Or how did that affect you? Or even putting yourself, it's difficult, but trying to relate to that from the child's perspective. If I was in that position, how would I react? How would I speak? How would I behave? And I think that's sometimes as an adult, you forget that once you were once a child. And actually, this is as child, you know, children react or how they respond to situations. And again, it's kind of that acceptance of a situation. You need to accept that sometimes, you know, life is tricky and sometimes life is great, and kind of getting the balance between the two. Certainly within our house, our acceptance is that we do get things wrong. And that's been quite a revelation to a lot of the children that we have fostered over the years, to kind of have an adult say, yeah, I got that wrong today, didn't I? And it's quite empowering for everybody to kind of say, oh, they are human.
And I suppose when they've come from a family, perhaps where there's been, I don't know, potential violence, because we see a lot of children who present as needing foster services, who have experienced domestic violence in a home, who may have been significantly abused in a relationship at the hands of their families, and for them to come into a family where that's not normal, and where you can demonstrate that there are other ways to communicate, that we don't have to be violent in the home to kind of get what we need. And that starts to, you're role modeling all the time, aren't you? What kind of effective communication is, and how people can care for each other in a really kind and generous way, especially when they've not been used to it. Because they must come into homes to a certain extent feeling quite puzzled about, you know, what they're doing in a foster home. First of all, because it takes some getting your head around as a grown-up, let alone as a young person. And also then trying to get to know you as a foster family when they never met you before. So I suppose one of the other things I was going to ask you is, you know, how do you manage that when a child first comes to your home? And I know that more often than not, there's quite a lot of information being shared in advance of a child arriving to you, but you've never met them usually. So how do you manage that as a family?
I think, you know, and this will be echoed across the board, is when you get a referral for a placement through, there is limited information that can be shared or given. And also what has been passed from professional to professional. So I think it's about being open-minded and just accepting the child as they are on your front door. And you need to just be warm and be open and be honest. We do laugh here about stability and Groundhog Day, and children need that. They need that predictability of the same routine, for you to be a constant. to keep your word, because I think the lots of children within the foster care system have obviously had that adult trust kind of broken, and it's about reworking that and kind of showing them that, okay, you've had a little bit of a rough ride, but now we can offer some stability, some security, we can offer some fun. You know, we can be there to help you learn and kind of prepare for adulthood, because eventually, you know, that's the journey that they'll be heading along, independent living and adulthood. And I think it's about kind of preparing them for that in a way that is empowering to them and giving them the knowledge and the skills that they need, yeah, that maybe have not been given to them previously by, you know, parents or family. But we are honest. We are very honest. No subject is a taboo subject. If we don't know the answers, we will endeavour to find them out. And even if that answer is maybe not a pretty answer, we will still communicate that in a way that is kind of age appropriate or to the child's understanding as well.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a slow process, isn't it, getting to know them? Yeah. And I was talking to some of our carers recently about, you know, the kind of, you have to have some household rules, I guess, but, you know, how you share those and, you know, the kind of variety of, you can expect that in your home that children will follow some of the rules that you want in the house without them being too restrictive, obviously. But I think there's that element of, you have to have some house rules, but it's how you share them. And more often than not, you know, children, I mean, I was talking to one particular carer about how one child that had recently come into their home, and they realized that they'd not been used to having regular food. You know, their meals had been inconsistent, and one of the biggest challenges was that they found themselves hoarding some food because they didn't know if they were going to be fed again. And part of their work with the foster carer was to constantly reassure that young child that actually you don't need to worry, there'll always be food in the house, and taking them shopping with them so that they could pick food and they could see what was going in the trolley, and then helping them to put it all away into the cupboards so that they could constantly see it was there, and just enabling them to relax that they didn't need to feel panicked about having no food, or just that being in that fight or flight situation just because they didn't know if they were going to get fed. And I think that's the thing, when you're not used to dealing with children who have experienced that, can be quite a shock to some foster carers experiencing it for the first time. So it's really interesting how I think with the training we do the skills to foster course, and we try and encourage people who are new to fostering how they understand what to expect, what kind of things children might have experienced, so you can actually get some good insight. It's always fascinating, because what might work
so
with one
what
child,
we have noticed
said, might not work with
certainly
another one.
Is a big significance with food, and like you said, Angela, the unpredictability of whether the child will have food available or consistently have food available. And it is, like you said, it's about that reassurance, opening and shutting cupboards 20, 30 times a day, taking them shopping so they can pick items that they enjoy. And I just think it's a long journey for that reassurance and that trust to be gained.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It's just something you have to think about, isn't it, sometimes with some children, not all children, but some children. And I think what's great is with the Skills to Foster course, we do talk about things like this to enable people to understand the implications, I guess, of looking after a child who, for whatever reason, can't live with their own family.
Yeah. And you know, food is just one example. It might be just that child might call you 20 times through the night just to make sure you're still there.
And it's
them reassuring themselves that actually you are there, you are still here, and tomorrow you'll still be here. And food is here, toys. So many children have kind of gone without toys or clothing, or one minute they've had something and the next day it's kind of disappeared for you know, whatever reason. And it's about having that reliability, you know, that food is here, clothing is here, you're here. You know, if you're gonna say you're gonna be there at a certain time, be there at a certain time, because as soon as you let a child down, they automatically place you in the box with, you're another adult that has just let me down. I can't trust an adult. You're no different. Yeah. You know, even though you're completely different, that box is that they put you in it already. So as much as you can be, you have to be there for them. And again, it's about those skills of, you are here, but they can play on their own in, you know, alongside or in another room, or they can complete a task without adult intervention. You know, they are able to make fairy cakes without you, you know, obviously adult supervision for the dangerous bits. But I think it's giving them those little skills of independence and reassurance. And after time, they build up and build up and build up, and by the time you've kind of finished, hopefully you've got a well-grounded, well-flourished kind of individual.
Yeah, rebuilding their self-esteem, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
Recognising their own qualities and their own abilities. Oh, yeah. Thanks for that, Juliet.
That's
great. I think as a foster carer who has changed agencies, because obviously you joined us nearly a year ago now,
mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think people should look for in a fostering agency? What do you look for?
As you say, we're fairly new to the moon and back. But certainly what we were looking for was 100% support, even when the going gets tough. And there are some tough days. It was the honesty. If something has happened or you need some advice, it's about having that honest answer. And I think what we've certainly picked up is, even if to the moon and black don't know the answer immediately, the honest approach is, we'll find that out and we'll get back to you. And as an individual, that's what you need. You need that, okay, that's fine, that kind of reassurance. We work as a team. We work really well as a team. Obviously, you know, the company is growing, and there are, you know, foster carers kind of dotted around, but we come together through the supervisions, and, you know, group or individuals, like the little areas. Well, and that's really, really good. It's fostering can be quite isolating. You know, you do it from your home 24 hours a day. So it's nice to have that support from the other carers within your kind of facility and the wider support. We feel safe that we can approach you guys with anything at any time.
That's good to know.
And sometimes it's silly little things. We just think, oh, I'm not sure about this, or can I just check? And it's that real nice personal kind of response that we get. You know, we're not a number for you, but, you know, to the moon and back, we are individuals. We have a heart, we have feelings also, and that is really kind of brought through as part of your ethics, is that actually you are just as important to us as the job that you do. And I think kind of we weren't with you overly long before we had our second placement matched. That matching process was very thorough. We asked for additional information, and you as a kind of an agency went and found out that information for us. And to date, the match is going really well. So it's a placement that has hopefully got some longevity to it, which obviously in turn is good for the child, that stability, that reassurance, that security, which will obviously, you know, help them develop and flourish, and like you said, their self-esteem, their confidence, their skills. But also as an agency, it also means that you don't have a placement breakdown. You don't have people that are wounded from this process, because it can be, again, it can be another trauma added to the carer and to the child. And the whole point of good matching is that this doesn't happen. Really pleased with that process.
That's good to know, because I think one of the things that Alison, my co-founder, and I, when we were first looking at setting up to the Moon and Back, and one of the things that we've done is, obviously, we've worked in other fostering agencies before we decided to form our own agency, and it was all about the ability to provide a level of support, and also that would be really meaningful, because I think I'm glad that you recognize that we're more than a phone call away. I think it's we try and offer so much more than that, and that's about building a really good relationship as well, so you can come and tell us anything and not feel unsafe, like you were saying. I think the other thing around the matching, you know, Alison and I want to sleep at night. we want to know that, you know, children are in the best place, that you as foster carers and your family are safe as well, and that you thrive, because our purpose really is for you to be successful. You know, why else are we in this role if we're not here to enable your success? Because if you're successful, we're all successful. The children do well.
And ultimately, then the child becomes successful.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Well, that's just great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Juliet, for taking some time and coming to speak to us. It means a lot that you feel able to share some of the things that you've shared with us. And, you know, we hope that people who are listening to this podcast we'll see that there's a possibility to maybe give us a call just to have a chat. People have been thinking about fostering, or if you're thinking about looking at another fostering agency, perhaps you're already a foster carer and you're considering moving agency, that people would just be willing to just pick up the phone, because if nothing else, we're happy to listen. We're happy to talk. There's no commitment on our part. It's just to find out more information, and we'll send people more information. But I really thank you for sharing that. And I wish you a happy new year.
Thank you.
The podcasts, I'll be going out through January and February of the new year. So we wish you a happy new year. And thank you for everything that you do. We know you make a fantastic difference to the lives of the children that you care for. And support, and for that we thank you very, very much.
And that's my pleasure, and thank you for taking the time to listen to me, and I hope it helps.
Thanks, Juliet. Take care.
No worries. Bye-bye.
To the Moon and Back Foster Care operates across Cambridgeshire, Peterborough, Norfolk, Hertfordshire and Essex. If you'd like to know more about fostering, then please get in touch via our website to themoonandbackfostercare.com. Alternatively, give us a call on 01223 800 420. Thank you.